from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Well, on the G and Ursula Show, we sure have talked about a lot of taxes today. I just wonder, Ursula, if in the 11 o'clock hour, if taxes is going to come up again.
Let's make it tax-free. How's that?
Oh, I like how you did it. This is the tax-free hour.
Mm-hmm. We need some relief.
This hour's getting paid under the table. How about that?
Oh, very well done. Ursula, we have a guest at 11:30.
We do. And so many of you have reached out to us and said, I would love it if you guys could find different ways that we could help our community. So here is one. One of our listeners reached out to us, and it is an effort to help babies in the state of Washington, and specifically in Western Washington. So we're going to tell you about this effort. They're at the end of their fundraising effort, and if you have the means and you would like to help out, we're going to tell you how you can do that. So that is coming up at 11:30.
All right, let's get to it. Agree to disagree. Brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
All right, let's try for a little duty-free segment here. Starting out with whether we really want our ferries made in Washington State. So as we discussed with Chris Sullivan earlier, by law, Washington State ferries have to be made here. It supports hundreds of good-paying jobs, but according to Chris, ferries could be built for 50% less and faster elsewhere in the United States. G. Scott, what do you think? Should we pull the trigger and save some money and send those jobs elsewhere, or keep the jobs here in Washington State and pay more?
Keep the jobs here in Washington State and pay more. Because what does that mean, right? That means that that would supply jobs here for people to be here and make money. And when they make the money here, guess where they spend their money? You ready for this? Right here. So if they spend their money right here, how that benefits us here in this state. But if you contract it out and someone over somewhere else is making these states, I mean, these ferry boats, because it's 50% cheaper, then those people are making the money. And guess where they're spending their money? Not spending their money here. That doesn't help the Washington economy at all. Ursula, making the boats here is a win-win for all.
Well, right now they're saying it's not a win-win because of that 50% more expensive to do it here. However, I agree with you because I just quickly Googled and was like, okay, how much does this actually generate in the state of Washington? And the estimates are that the maritime industry generates between $25 to $30 billion to our state economy.
That's the entire maritime industry, though, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. You know, on when it comes to ferries, it does, like you said, generate more money and more jobs and keeps the jobs here. The thing that I think is necessary, though, is Chris told us that there was one company bidding for the job to do the repairs or to build
Vigor,
the boats.
I believe it's called.
Yes, exactly. And it used to be Todd Shipyards, and that's been around forever. There needs to be more competition, because with more competition, then you're talking about, you know, potentially bringing the cost down. But right now, it's basically one company does it. You're beholden to that company and whatever cost that they're going to tell you. And then you've got this contract that says you can't take this business elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's like you don't have a whole lot of choice.
Be careful what y'all ask for.
Yeah.
Be careful when you start talking about jobs being cheaper done elsewhere. Careful. Now, I know there's some folks that's disagreeing with me. That's fine. You can disagree with me. But I promise you, there's a possibility you might jump on board if your job
outsourced. Absolutely. I would, too. I'd be hopping mad. However, the cost of one single Washington State ferry is about $160 to $180 million. We could build them for 50% cheaper elsewhere. Are you telling me that we couldn't take that $80 or $90 million and straight up pay all of those people salaries for a year at minimum and still end up with money left over? This is a protection racket for private business. And don't get me wrong, I love union jobs. I love jobs here in Washington State. But the simple fact is that our aging ferry fleet is also crippling our economy in Washington State. It's crippling the economy of the Olympic Peninsula. It's crippling the economies of the islands. I mean, tourism, I believe, is the fourth largest industry in Washington State. Brings in billions of dollars every single year. I haven't bothered going to the peninsula for over 2 years, and I'm not going to go this summer because I know what a disaster the ferry system has been. How many jobs are we missing out on the Olympic Peninsula and in the islands, and what kind of tourist revenue are we missing out on because we're relying on this old, aging ferry fleet? Add to that, we have an affordable housing crisis. You can still buy a home for $500,000 on the Olympic Peninsula. Now, if we had a fast, reliable ferry system, how many people would be able to work here on the east side of Puget Sound and live over on the peninsula and actually be able to afford housing? Yeah, I think that this is one of the biggest roadblocks that we have in Washington. Poor pun, because it's obviously not a road unless you count Chris's assertion that they're state highways.
Right. Okay. Well, you know what's going to happen if it is so easy and you've got, you know, boats all the time whenever you want it, and it's so easy to go to the peninsula and all the different islands. You know what's going to happen to the prices?
It'll slowly start going up. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's and also a lot of room to build out there, too.
Yeah, that's true. 253 says, I'll ask all the Boeing workers how that worked out. Sending the jobs elsewhere and taking a lot of the jobs and doing, you know.
But Washington State was not buying the planes.
Correct.
Right. In this case, we're buying the boats.
Yes. So your argument, I think we're just going to agree to disagree, which is exactly what this segment is.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Nick Cannon, celebrity Nick Cannon, father of 12 children. He actually wishes he had 13. He cited in a recent interview as saying that he wished he had a child with one of his old co-stars that he dated for 2 years back in 2008. And Nick Cannon is often a punchline in the national media, on social media, about, hey, when's this guy going to stop having kids?
Mm-hmm.
So my question there is, can you have too many kids? Is that irresponsible? Is it bad? Or should everyone be able to have as many children as they want?
I think the amount of kids that you have is very subjective, right? I think we make a mistake in this country. Like, for an example, if you just meet someone at a party and someone says, I live over in Everett and, me and my 7 kids right now. What's the first thing going through your mind when she says, me and my 7 kids? You don't say it. Maybe you hold your breath, but inside you're like, say what? 7 kids, right? But back in yesteryear, someone having 6-7 kids in 100 years ago, it was no big deal. I don't know, 6-7 kids, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if most people I know can do it. But if you can do it, do it. And there's going to be someone that says, well, Nick Cannon is not able to spend as much time with those 12 kids as someone with 2 kids. And I'd argue, I know of families where the dad is gone 3 weeks out of the month, mm-hmm. where he's traveling. I also know situation where a single mom or dad might have 1 child and they don't get to spend time with that child because they have to work 2 jobs in order to make ends meet. It's all subjective, Ursula.
I agree that it's subjective. And because of that, when I heard Nick Cannon, I should have had another kid when he already has, you said 12?
12 kids, 6 moms.
6 different moms.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm going to judge. That's odd. Sorry. And then he's like, I should have had another one. To me, I think it sounds like he is more interested in populating the world with lots of little Nick Cannons with different moms versus the actual raising of these children. Now, I don't know. I don't know enough about him and his situation. And you're right, G. Like, my dad was one of 13 kids. And he was not that was in Germany, wartime. You know, obviously different reasons. If you hear of someone who says, I have 8 kids today, people will be surprised because that's not the trend. The trend is to have much smaller families, if people even have kids at all. But if you can raise the kids, whether it's, you know, if you can raise the kids and give them quality time, doesn't have to be quantity time, but quality time, and handle them, then no one can tell you how many kids you can have. But the Nick Cannon situation, that sounds strange.
We don't have time to go through it because this is just agree to disagree. But when you guys get a chance, you can go over some of the religious groups in this country.
Absolutely.
That spent a lot of time with having a bunch of kids so that they can look a certain way. But again, we don't have time for that. It's in the books.
Ursula, you mentioned eight kids. Someone famous who also has eight kids, Elon Musk. And I think that you're absolutely right. It is weird. These guys like Nick Cannon and Elon Musk, they're not having children to be fathers. They're not having all of these kids because I want to be present in my kids' lives. It is a weird, like, monument to their personal legacy that I need to procreate as many times as possible so that I know that 1,000 years from now, like Genghis Khan, like 1/8 of humanity will share my DNA. This is like an ego thing. Yeah, I would call it a giant P-word project is what I would call it, because it's like building your rocket to the moon. You want a legacy to be left for all mankind to know that you were one of the greatest men of all time. I think it's bizarre.
Yeah, Natalie on Olympia says this is a super successful man who just wants to spread his seed everywhere. I mean, that's what I think of.
All right, speaking of guys, I'm sure you've all heard about the men that are cracking their femurs so they can be taller. Now men are actually cracking their jaws to achieve the perfect manly jaw lines. And now surgeons are literally sculpting abs from flab, which some aficionados are calling boob jobs for boys. G. Scott, the trend amongst male cosmetic surgery has taken kind of a bizarre twist for me. Is this an alarming trend to you, or just a sign of the times and everyone wants to look better?
Pandora's box is open. Right? Like, we have seen it all. This, what we have recently seen. I know one of the topics or the conversations is, if you're getting a tattoo now, what's that tattoo going to look like in years to come? I get it. But I ain't going to lie, Ursula. You know, the whole BBLs and all this kind of stuff.
BBLs?
Yeah, that's what they call it, all the thick thighs and butt plants and all, the body. And so I've been seeing it,
Brazilian butt lift?
All that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just think all the Nicki Minaj's and all that kind of stuff. It might be cool when you're in your 20s and 30s. But as you get over, I just didn't know how the BBLs was going to work out, especially the extreme ones. So all I'm saying is, Chef and Ursula, we are at a time now where Pandora's box is open. So if you want to be taller, if you wish you were a baller, then if you wish you had a girl,
power to you.
Yeah, like, good, you could call her, right? And if you had a rabbit in a hat with a bat, with a 6'4 Impala.
Good grief. How long did you work on that one? You're sounding like Nick.
It's a song.
He's back quoting. For a while.
He's quoting. That was really good. Maybe that should be a song, G.
Okay, let's get back to all this work that people are doing. I know. Some of these things just go right over my head.
What you got, Ursula? What you got?
I'm going to go with, at some point, it is becoming excessive. And there are people who become obsessed with some of these surgeries and improvements because they're trying to keep up with what people look like with these filters now and, what they see on social media. So there's always this feeling of wanting to be just like, this person who doesn't really exist because it's all filtered. I'm all for enhancements. I, do things myself that make me feel better, and that's great, and I support anyone. But when it comes to the point when you are actually jeopardizing your health and safety, to try to be like the Joneses or to try to be like these people who don't really look like that in real life, I think that's where it's getting too much. And you know who loves it? Plastic surgeons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is just the biggest booming, okay, maybe not the biggest, but I mean, that is a huge industry.
This is just the beginning, y'all. Like, this is just the beginning. It all, this, where the boom started with Zoom. in Microsoft Teams and people having to have meetings now face to face. Now on radio, you guys are now watching us. Like, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, don't judge.
I thought it started with Baywatch and Photoshop, personally, but I find this incredibly disturbing because I don't judge anyone who wants to get any kind of work done. But the idea that we all need to be some kind of idealized version of a human, we all come in different shapes and sizes, we are all unique and special for who we are, and the amount of pain that people go through during these surgeries and the risks that they entail, absolutely crazy. Man. And I think it's a shame that collectively our self-esteem is so low that so many of us feel we need to have this done in order to succeed in society.
Ursula.
Well,
hey.
the other part, though, I got to say, though, I think that plastic surgeons play a role, too. At some point, you have to go, you know what? That we need to stop because it's no longer your nose is disintegrating, or this is just going to, you know, you're not going to get the results that you want. What you're asking for is unrealistic. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, they're telling you you need to replace the brakes on your car when they're working just fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ursula, hey, you, what's that sound?
You're not going to get me twice.
Oh,
fool me once. Yeah, but no. That one I know.
Ursula was about to say, everybody know what's going down.
Yeah, no, I'm on you.
Oh, I love you, Ursula.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Coming up next here on the Gene Ursula Show, we have a guest, Ursula. We do have a guest. Looking forward to this.
Yes, we do. So this is a way that you can help your community right now. You can help babies right now with families who are struggling. We're going to tell you about that coming up next.
Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. We do talk a lot on the show about the people in our community who are struggling and need help. But I got to say, we don't spend enough time offering ideas on how you can help. And there's always something each of us can do. One of our listeners just reached out to us with such an opportunity. It is Cheryl Hurst with the nonprofit Do the Right Thing. And that organization has collected millions of diapers over the last 9 years to deliver to families and seniors. And we've invited Cheryl to join us right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. So tell us about your efforts the last couple of years. Why do you do this?
Well, I was quite a few years ago, 2013-14, I was volunteering at the Dawn Domestic Violence Shelter, and we were handing out Christmas gifts and stuff. And I asked about, you know, where they store all their stuff, and they took me into the garage where they store their diapers and other things, and there was one box of diapers. It's like, I said, what's with that? There's all these women with babies and young children coming through. And they said, well, that's just absolutely one of the most expensive things to purchase. And, you know, we do it on an as-needed basis because there's not a budget for that.
Sure. I just want to tell you, I absolutely love what you do because for some reason, it just brings me back to when it was time to buy diapers. And I'm telling you, of all the things, that was one of the things that felt like it was the most. Looking at some stats right here, the average baby uses up to 6,000 diapers in the first 2 years of life. That's 8 diapers a day, 240 diapers a month. I mean, this is crazy. When it comes to this, tell us what you have done with the help of helping all these moms out here, or moms, dads, and families when it comes to diapers.
To be honest with you, people always say, oh, what you've done. No, it's not really what I've done. It was just, it was seeing a need. It was back, you know, in 2014, the Machinist Union helped me start this. And if I wouldn't have them behind us, I wouldn't have continued. So the reality is that, you know, there's so many people out there in need, but the Machinist Union, yeah, we'll help you collect. And, you know, so started out with 15,300 diapers back then. And last year we did 396,801 diapers and 199,304 wipes. And that's that's 70 plus businesses in 15 different cities. Wow. Collecting. It's not me. It was just fill a need, and there is tons and tons of great people out there.
Well, and it sounds like it, and a lot of people are helping with your organization do the right thing. But let's talk about what is going on this year and who benefits from this. I mean, what counties are you serving?
We're serving from Pierce County to Snohomish County. We have 20 nonprofits this year, so Thumman, Edgewood, I'll just give them to you. Nourish Food Bank in Edgewood, Dawn Domestic Violence Shelter in Kent, Karen at a Puget Sound, they have multiple locations. I believe they have 7 offices now. Multi-Service Center in Federal Way, Foster Champs in Maple Valley, Enumclaw, Two Hearts Pregnancy Aid in Everett, El Centro de la Raza, Federal Way, Seattle, South King Food Bank at the Federal Way Senior Center, which is technically in Auburn, Children's Home Society in Kent, Parent Child Assistance Program in Tacoma, Fusion Transitional Housing in Federal Way, Iraqi Community Center in Kent, Auburn Food Bank, Auburn Apartment Life, We Love Kent, who just pretty much helps everybody they can possibly help in Kent, and Maple Valley Food Bank in Maple Valley Communities and Schools, Federal Way, Prepares Washington. They help all over the place. Mother Africa in Kent, St. Vincent de Paul in Tacoma, and one of our new ones this year, Pediatric Interim Care in Kent, which helps new babies that are born to drug addicted mothers. So,
Cheryl, you told us why you do it, and we really appreciate it. And I think that, you know, there's those listening right now that are understanding on why folks out there need help with diapers and everything like that. I would like to give you this chance and opportunity to even express again how it is and we can help and why it is that we should help with some of these folks out here.
Well, most people don't really understand that, first of all, that diapers are not available with an EBT card. You can purchase food and energy drinks and candy and pop. But unfortunately, diapers are a disallowed purchase. So you've got people that, you know, are living under the poverty level. And I realize there's a lot of food insecurity out there, but diaper insecurity is about on par that babies didn't ask to be born to, you know, people that unfortunately can't afford diapers. Also, a lot of people don't understand. We also started collecting adult Depend Tana, AKA adult diapers. And that's another thing that lots of people don't understand, that those just don't come. How people can help. We have our March of Diapers. You'll see.
Okay, Cheryl, sorry, we're losing you, so we want to make sure that people hear. So again, you have the March of you've got a March of Diapers drive going on right now. What can our listeners do right now?
They can go and find the businesses that are collecting, drop off diapers. If they want to donate money, they can go onto our Do the Right Thing nonprofit.org. and hit the PayPal and put in from there. We are a 501c3 and we'll purchase for them.
Cheryl, we thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you. I know you're very passionate about this, and we need people like you and others who have donated their time and their talent to help the community. That is how we improve, and we cannot thank you enough.
I appreciate you guys.
Thank you
have
so much.
Day.
You
Thanks
too.
So much.
Thank you.
Can I just say something real quick in case folks miss the website there? It is dotherightthingnonprofit.org.
Mm. Thank you.
Ursula.
I just love people like Cheryl. I just want to say, you know, because we're always talking about the problems. And it's like someone looks at it, sees that an organization has one box of diapers, like, hey, I can do something right now.
How many people listening just found out that you cannot purchase diapers with your EBT card?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people who might be surprised about that.
Right. So thank you, Cheryl.
And if you've looked at the cost of a bag of diapers.
That's a lot. Ursula, do you miss changing diapers?
That would be no.
I
but I'm getting also closer and closer to the age of maybe I might need them again.
The real, I got to tell you, the real motivation for potty training is when they start getting a little older and you're like, yo, this has got to hurry up. All right. Text messages, feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's Words to Live by, Gene Ursula. And Ursula, everybody. Good morning. Ursula, tomorrow, you know what tomorrow is. Oh,
Fresh
man.
Friday.
Oh, cannot wait. All right, text messages. What do you got?
Should downtown businesses get a 3-year tax break? Eric in Columbia City said $250 million in jumpstart taxes are being used for affordable housing. Is there evidence of this housing? Where is it? How many got housed? Good questions. And of the jumpstart taxes, 65% is supposed to go toward housing. Exactly where that has gone, I would need to do some research. But good questions.
I just want to know we're going to do the income tax. Scenarios. The guy I'm seeing set a $30 budget for our dates. Rich says it's fair for men to pay. Men get paid more.
Jennifer in Gig Harbor says, I know plenty of women who split or rotate bills. Like every other or every 2 to 3 dates, we pay. Ain't no big thing. We work for our money just the same. We are successful. It's simply not a big deal to pay occasionally.
Shout out to Jennifer in Gig Harbor.
You would get along with
me. Wait, every 2 to 3 dates? That should be 1 to 1, right?
Oh, shh.
Yeah, well, Jennifer, you did sneak that in, Jennifer. You did say every 2 to 3 dates.
Okay, she said she knows plenty of women who split. Split to me would be also maybe 50-50.
Like every other. Oh, no, she does says like every other.
Yeah. You get an extra credit for going halvesies now?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Let's go halvesies at Starbucks, and then you pay for it at Ascend. Brian in Bellevue says, I got tired of having to pay for every date being a guy. So, I married a guy.
206 says, I love Brian.
Me too.
206 says, the man drives a $50,000 car and then mentions this. He's cheap.
Sharon, the Scrabble savant says, I've never paid for a date. Guess that's why I'm old school.
You and me, Sharon. Okay, should ferries be built in Washington?
That was so self-satisfied, Ursula.
Ernie and Kent is so disappointed in me. 425 says, new ferries will be financed through Washington taxes. Let's provide the jobs in-state. As a former Todd's shipbuilding employee, a lot of the ships built out of state for cheaper were brought back to Todd's to repair within a year because of poor workmanship. Build in-state.
Steve in the 253 says, gee, so you would be okay spending 50% more to buy a house? Also, remember, we're supposed to be good stewards of other people's money. I understand your philosophy, and I might agree with it. However, when it comes to other people's money, then maybe we should be good stewards of it and pay 50% less. You know what? That's a good point. But how has history been on our side as far as good stewardship over other people's money?
Mm. Brian and Yelm had a great suggestion.
What'd he say?
He said, how about build 3 of the ships in-state and 2 out-of-state? Split it up.
Careful what you wish for.
Save some money. Okay, the Wakayamkum School District is suing the state for more funding. Dan in Emenclaw says, I went to Cedar Woolley High School. From my 9th grade year on, the district denied 14 straight levies. In 12th grade, the only electives were home economics and woodshop. The parents are the problem. They shot themselves and their kids in the foot all the time.
425 says, does Democrat-led Washington State really have a spending problem? It seems to me if every single red county in this state spends more in tax money than they contribute, those counties are the ones with the spending problem. If you're consistently outspending your revenue, doesn't that mean you're incapable of staying within your budget? How come no one tells Lewis or Ferry or Pierce County to tighten their belts and stop asking for handouts?
Mm. Should we ban TikTok? 425 says, as a teacher who is frequently battling TikTok challenges, ban it. As a middle-aged woman with perimenopausal insomnia, keep it. 425, once again, I'm with you.
We didn't even get to that topic, but it was so good, I had to include it.
We missed it.
How come we didn't? We kind of messed up today.
Because we went long on the whole Wakayakum thing.
Seattle's top dog, Brian and Bellevue again. French Bulldogs are such a Bellevue breed. However, I agree with Ursula's sweeping statements about Golden Retrievers.
Donna and Lacey said so many dogs and cats out there that need homes. Say no to expensive breeders.
All right, Ursula, give us something good. We need some The Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
Chef, can you repeat the name of the nonprofit organization that if you want to help out with diapers, where should our listeners go?
They can go to dotherightthingnonprofit.org.
And so here are my words of the day, quoting former President Ronald Reagan. We can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Love you all. Why are you chuckling?
Because I envisioned that quote. With money trickling down.
Making it rain.
Hey, come on. You just ruined my moment. Gee whiz. Just let it go.
You ask what? I was going to move away.
Yeah, you don't think people heard that big chuckle? I'm going to quote it again. Here's former President Ronald Reagan saying, we can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone.
Good stuff, Ursula. Nick, what you got, bro?
The two guarantees in life are death and a tax. And don't wait for a change. This rule lacks any cracks. So with all the public funding, you gotta wonder where it goes. It's not for male cosmetics like taller stature or a new nose, but more to build our ferry boats and help neighbors in need. So hold some cash for Uncle Sam, whether you've agreed or disagreed. After all, that bill is paid. You do what you want with whatever dough that remains. But I don't recommend pulling off a Nick Cannon with so many kids. It's hard to explain.
Good show today. Ursula, I always like to ask you, what kind of show was today?
It was fairly well balanced and somewhat meaty.
Yeah?
And somewhat fun, too.
How in the world did we talk about so much taxes today?
We did. Okay, tomorrow's Fresh Friday. Tax-free? No.
Tax-free show.
Michael Medved will join us tomorrow.
Let's be real. Fresh Friday topics, we try to keep it light, don't we?
Yep.
No, Chef, save that for Monday.
Fresh Fridays are no charge on the house.
Yep, there it is. All right. Thank you, Ursula. Appreciate doing the show with you. Chef, thank you for cooking up a good show. Nick, appreciate you, brother. And we're going to do this again tomorrow. By the way, the Midday Shake show comes up next. I can't talk for some reason. You can tell I'm done. The Midday Show comes up next. You got Spike O'Neill and Jack Stein. As for you, we appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And as always, be kind.
Hope you had as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.